Hello and welcome to All Things Apostolic. My name is Casey Cease, and in today's episode, we're going to be talking about being separated unto God. In Leviticus 22:2, the Bible says, "Speak unto Aaron and to his sons, that they separate themselves from the holy things of the children of Israel, and that they profane not my holy name in those things, which they hallow unto me, I am the Lord." Last week, we talked a little bit about wholeness and holiness. So in the event that you missed last week's episode, here's a quick recap. We noted that holy cannot be separated from whole, W-H-O-L-E. Therefore, holiness is always a movement towards wholeness. We also discussed the Sabbath and how it was a declaration of wholeness after God had completed creation, and that honoring the Sabbath and keeping it holy was an ever-present reminder that we are supposed to live in light of how we were created, whole. We also discussed the need for wholeness in personal action and wholesomeness in fellowship. When we approach the topic of separation, a lot of times we look at separation from the standpoint of being separated from things. But biblically, our separation is first unto God and then away from things. You see, separation is a concept that goes back to creation. To create is to separate. To separate is to divide. Creation is dependent upon separation. Light, the statement, "Let there be light," demands separation. The waters that cover the earth are separated into waters above and below. Dry land emerges and it is separated from the sea. Creatures of the water are separated and they are different from fowl of the air. Cattle, creeping things, and beasts of the field are separate from creatures of the waters and fowl of the air. Moreover, humanity is separated from all of creation. They are imago Dei, that is, to be created in the image of God. The garden itself is separate from the field. And when Adam and Eve sinned, they separated themselves from the garden. And so separation goes all the way back to creation. But not only is separation a concept at creation, it is one that is carried throughout the entirety of the Bible. Lucifer and his fallen angels are separated from other hosts. Noah and his family is separated from the rest of humanity that is determined to be exceedingly wicked. The sons of Noah are separated from each other, and all of humanity can be traced through Shem, Ham, and Japheth. After the Tower of Babel, Abraham is called, and Abraham is separated from the rest of humanity. And his offspring will become the conduit through which the nations will be blessed. Through Abraham, the descendant of Shem, the nation of Israel is separated from the rest of humanity. They are God's chosen people. And in Exodus, we see that the children of Israel are separated from bondage in Egypt. As God's chosen people, Israel's lives are marked by separation. They look different. Their clothes are distinct. They eat different. There are restrictions on what they can and cannot eat. They interact with each other differently. They worship differently. Every aspect of their life is marked by separation. In the Torah, we find 613 laws, most of which are about separation. In the New Testament, those that follow Christ are separate and separated from the world. They walk different, they talk different, and they act different. In Ephesians chapter 5 and 11, Paul warns believers to separate themselves from evildoers and false teachers. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and 14, Paul asks the question, "What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness?" And in the end times, Matthew tells us we find both sheep and goats, and the sheep will be separate from the goats. In Matthew 13 and 30, the wheat will be separated from the tares. And in Matthew 13, 47 through 48, it says this, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away." Throughout the entirety of the Bible, from the Genesis account of creation through the book of Revelation, the Bible consistently speaks about separation. And if we were wise, we would understand that that means that we need to live and understand separation as well. But one of our biggest issues when it comes to separation is that we don't fully understand what separation is. Primarily, we view separation as if it is something bad. We view separation as something that removes, and we focus on what we lose in separation. We tend to focus on what we cannot do. We view it like the 613 laws of the Old Testament. It is seen as a list of do nots. Separation typically gets a bad rap because it is separation that is not understood in its proper context. Again, last week we talked about holiness and wholeness, and the concept of wholeness continues here. In fact, when dealing with any aspect of holiness, you cannot remove it from an understanding of wholeness. Truthfully, I don't think you can divorce wholeness from anything within the biblical text, and separation is about wholeness. It is more about separating yourselves unto that which is whole than it is removing something from you. When we are aligned with that which is whole, it becomes the standard by which we judge and determine what is unwhole. It becomes the determining factor in our lives. It carries with it the connotation of to consecrate or to be devoted to. Such devotion is seen as a positive thing. It carries with it an understanding of being in relationship and belonging. To dedicate wholly to the personal pursuit of the perfection of that which is in the image of God, that is, God Himself. Therefore, separation is first unto, not from. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26 says, "And he shall be holy, or ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from people, that you should be mine." Again, the primary focus of separation here is belonging to God. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6 says, "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation." Israel's separation was unto God before it was from other nations. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18 says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." The reason for separation is a closer relationship with God. Romans chapter 1 and 1, Paul says, "I am a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel." Paul was separated unto God's purposes more than being separated merely from worldly things. Psalms chapter 4 and 3 says, "But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him." Separation is first about being devoted to God. Those that are devoted to Him are heard by Him. In fact, when we look at the book of Leviticus, the actual Hebrew word for Leviticus means, "and He called." And the theme that runs throughout Leviticus is, "Be ye, for I am." Thus, holiness is a calling, not a regulatory admonition. Holiness is a calling. It is not regulatory in nature. It is an upward call, not merely a plea to follow commandments. Deuteronomy 7 and 6 says, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, people above all that are upon the face of earth." Holiness is about being God's possession. Separation is about being God's possession. It's not just about avoiding sin. It is about making ourselves close to him. That's why 2 Peter 2 and 9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." God's people are set apart unto him for the purpose of proclaiming his glory. And so when we approach the topic of separation, we have to have an understanding that separation is first unto God before it is away from something else. Because when we separate ourselves unto God, we are separating ourselves unto that which is whole. And when we are in communion and relationship with that which is whole, it gives us the compass, it gives us the ability to look at everything else in life and determine whether or not it promotes wholeness. And if it does not promote wholeness, then we separate ourselves away from it. The problem is most people try to separate themselves away from things before they separate themselves unto God. And when you do it that way, you consistently ask yourself the question whether or not you should separate yourself away from something. I'm reminded of a communication that I once had with someone that worked within the banking industry. And I asked them, how is it that with all of the counterfeits that are available now, how is it that you know what is real from what is fake? How are you able to consistently distinguish those bills that are fake? And the response to me was, we spend so much time handling that which is real that we don't have to study what's fake. Because we handle that which is real so much that when something counterfeit passes in front of us, we know it because we've handled, we've touched, and we've been so close to that which is real that we can instantly spot that which is fake. That's what separation is all about. When we separate ourselves unto God, we separate ourselves unto that which is whole. And when we separate ourselves unto that which is whole, it's easy to look out into a world that is broken and understand what is unwhole. And when we understand what is unwhole, and when we understand what promotes the lack of wholeness, we separate ourselves from that. Because separation is about wholeness. And it's done unto him first, and then away from. Thank you for joining me on this week's episode of All Things Apostolic. I look forward to seeing you next week.